bag of goodies. And everybody sees the products that I buy. Thank you again.
Thanks, Walter.
Thanks. We'll move on to 4.0, tabling of petitions. We have no petitions to table today. Are there any petitions to table today? Second call for petitions? Third and final call for petitions? We have no petitions. 5.0, public question comment session. This is an opportunity for members of the public gallery to ask a question, make a comment. Please state your name, your address, and limit your comments or questions to 5 minutes or less.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's good to have a chance to answer the moment. A couple of things here.
We'll leave that to the RCMP and the Traffic Authority as a result of their investigation to advise.
Okay. The other thing, another thing is the funding with respect to the Custom Trail. I know you have a proposal coming here for a $90,000 grant there for money put into it. And I'm just wondering two things. The province, are they adding up there $160,000 at this point?
That would be a requirement of the funding. My understanding is they've confirmed that they will contribute.
Pardon?
My understanding is that the province has confirmed that they will contribute that amount of money.
Okay. And is there any, that being said, if with everything in place, is there any time limit on to when the Custom Trail, that part of it may be open?
Not at this point.
There's no time limit on that. Okay, if I have one other thing with respect to the financial statement, I noticed under general government expenses and also protective services, probably attributed around that about 25% for the first quarter. I see it's running just over 30%, which is not too bad, but it is up there a bit. And the 4-point LIGOs, that's up 500%. I guess there's more had to be done there.
There was work done on the storm wall as a result of the hurricanes and surge tides that we had this winter. The rocks were replaced along the front.
That's where the extra came in, didn't it?
Yeah.
And one final question on this statement. Under street lighting, you show a budget figure of $318,000, and you've got a minus $46,001 under actual to date. Then you've got a balance remaining $364,001, and then you didn't gain 14, you have a minus 14.47%. I want something wrong with the figures there. They reversed, right?
Yes, CAO.
So not reversed. Overbilling charged by Nova Scotia Power. They provide us with credit, and we haven't been billed yet for this
that Irene couldn't be here, that's our next door neighbor. From 4:30 to 6 o'clock, she counted 50 cars going up that road. And going up that road is, it's a very narrow road, not meant to have people going up there like wide open. I was out trimming my hedge here a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about this in October, but it was a near miss because they're coming around that sharp corner. They don't realize that it's a sharp corner because the sharp corner turn is actually on the turn itself. I know they're not adhering to the 30 kilometers. I understand that Sergeant Smith said sometimes perception is everything, but I know what 30 kilometers looks like. I'd like to see that stuck to local traffic only. I don't know what else we can do except for somebody's going to get hurt. Walking the dog the other day and coming around the corner, we had had a young person come along and had near, you know, they were way over to the other side and we were on that side. So I don't know what we can do to stop that traffic coming up. We said we're going to talk about that as well. We're open to suggestions because I actually bought that place 2 years ago hoping that it was a quiet street. It is not a quiet street, especially when we have hockey games going on and people are avoiding those lights. They think that they're cutting up here as a quick turn, not knowing that that's actually a sharp corner as well. And then going up at the top by Mr. Quinn's house, it takes a sharp corner and then goes out through. So people are using that to get on the highway, avoiding the lights and driving extremely fast. So open to suggestions on what we can do to avoid that. I don't know what happened after I spoke about it in October, if anyone had actually sent traffic control up there to have a look, but I haven't seen anybody up there inspecting.
And what we had done after your presentation in October, we had sent municipal staff up to clear the bushes and the limbs and such away from the sides of the road that were blocking some of the signage and other blind corner areas. The traffic authority, of course, has the responsibility to determine road usage and direction flows. It's my understanding from the RCMP that speeds of under 50 kilometers an hour are not enforceable in towns. So that is something that's being looked at by the province at this point in time through legislation, to my understanding, to allow perhaps a speed limit to be posted less than 50 kilometers an hour. And I am aware that the signage says 30, but it's apparently unenforceable at this point in time. So we'll have a deliberation today when the item comes up.
There's actually the sign that has 10 feet instead of 30. Kedgy Neck, right? But that's before our road. And people, I don't know if they're assuming that that's actually the road to take to go to Kedgy, but that's the road to take there. They've seen some heavy, bigger vehicles up there that shouldn't be going up there. Even Regent Green's municipal trucks go up there at some point in time, just going up there and going along the road. So bigger vehicles going there more and more every day.
Thank you. And another member of the gallery would like to speak today?
Yeah. My name's Karen McGee. We live at 46 Old Falls Road. A lot of the same concerns that Karen was expressing. What prompted, I called Jack a few weeks ago, and what prompted it was at 7:15 in the morning, there was an 18-wheeler creeping up Old Falls Road, and I can see this driver, I assume he wasn't local, wondering where this road was going. And I think he probably, like Karen talked about, saw the traffic sign that says next right, and that was Royal. That was Old Falls Road. I assume everybody here knows where Old Falls Road is. It's between the Amerisenter and McDonald's, and it's
place that you're gonna go to the beaches and that, you don't actually see the sign, you just see a little tiny sliver of something behind the outhouses. So until you actually go to the left and look, you will not see this beautiful sign that gives you the rules and regulations of what you should be doing at that beach. So maybe that sign should be moved over to the other side of the entry, and that way some people can see it. The other thing I've seen online is the closures of the Milton Pool. That's something that all the community people have been fighting for, is to put that pool open and running, to not have it retired. And I think maybe, I don't know if it's mechanical issues, if that's what it is, should definitely be a priority to get the repair. If it's the servicing part of it, the fact of putting the chemicals in, then maybe there should be some retraining or something done. This is summer, you're trying to save this feature, that's a big part of the community. Put the emphasis on actually taking care of it properly, getting those people to get it serviced properly. Running the pool with chemicals and that, it just means it's gonna be tested more often, and it's gotta be treated more properly.
Thank you, Kim. As an update to that, it has been a very difficult spring for water control and pools. The Region of Queens has staff that are very qualified in that respect. And in addition, we called in professionals from a company to assist, and it was very difficult to get a balance. But having said that, the safety of the swimmers is of prime importance for the Region of Queens, and when the chemicals are out of balance, it's a necessary point closed pool. So we do take your point, and we do appreciate that we need to have our pools open as much as we can when they're expected to be open. And this has been a very difficult spring, and I guess I'll tell you that we've done everything we possibly could, and the staff have put in extra hours. So it is important. Thank you. Any other member of the gallery?
Tony Norser, Village Council, Bill Fox, 121 Bob Road, Great Point. Just a couple of items. Firstly, 3.2, Admissions to the SIDE program. Very pleased to see this is on the agenda, and hope that many businesses in both of our business districts will take advantage of this. This has been very successful here in bygone years, and
approve the minutes would be in order. Moved by Councilor Kelly, seconded by Deputy Mayor McLeod. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. We have nothing today under 7-0, dangerous or unsightly premises. Under economic development, 8.0, we have repeal of policy 8.1. 81, excuse me. Repeal of policy 81. Under item 8.1, Richard Lane, would you like to come forward to the presentation there? Who would like to take the lead on the recommendation for this item? Councilor Kelly?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality repeal policy 81, fees, booking procedures for Town Hall Arts and Culture Center.
Seconded for that? Councilor Fisk? The update to this item was circulated previously. Are there any questions or comments on this recommendation? Councilor Kelly?
Just wondering if Richard could explain it in a little more detail. So I found it a little bit confusing.
As you know, the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Centre was previously operated by a business that was in there. And when the last time Policy 81 was amended in 2017, the agent of that business was actually named within the policy. So obviously when that agreement finished, that part of the policy was no longer applicable. But in actual fact, the rest of the policy, which deals with fees and booking procedures, is now covered under an arrangement with the new operator for Town Hall. So in actual fact, none of policy 81 is applicable. Yeah, so it's simply a housekeeping item.
Any other questions or comments of councillors? Councillor Kelly?
So I assume that policy 81 will be brought back forward to us when it's been confirmed and tied up with the new operator.
It wouldn't be contained under a policy because there's an agreement in place which covers fees and booking procedures. If that agreement was to be terminated one way or another, we would then bring another policy back with restated fee and booking procedures, but at the moment it's not necessary.
So, okay, now that I don't understand that, why we had a policy 81 which included all of the details for the operator at the time, and now we have a new operator, but that's under an agreement, not under a policy.
Yep.
Why is that?
The responsibility for booking is with the operator. So there's no responsibility on us to handle the booking arrangements. And likewise, the fee schedule and so on is at the discretion of the operator of Town Hall, not the responsibility of us. So there's nothing to cover.
So what did policy 81 cover for the Region of Queens then? Because that was under a business as well.
It basically restated some of the things that were in the agreement.
Are you saying that when the other operator was managing the Town Hall Arts and Culture Center, it wasn't necessary to have a policy for them either, but this happened?
Well, I don't know if that's for me to say, but certainly the elements that are in the current policy 81 are also covered under an agreement. So rather than having it duplicated, it seems that policy 81 is not really required.
So this agreement with the how will that be extended to the public? How will the public know? Is that on our website, the agreement? Like how do people know what to do at the Town Hall?
The agreement's not on our website. The arrangement to make bookings will primarily be the discretion of the operator, but we'll do everything we can to, you know, publicize that and make sure that people know who to contact and how to make a booking at Town Hall, for sure.
Okay.
It's in our interest to have it successful.
Yes, exactly. Okay, thank you.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Well, that was the gist of my question, and I'm still a little bit confused. So we had an operator before under this policy 81 who was a private individual who operator of business, and then out of that, as well as you also had the bookings and whatnot for the other components of the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center, is that correct? So now you've hired, so this new person who is still labeled as the operator, is that person working independently, or is that person working under the leadership of the Region of Queens, or is this?
No, they're
independent.
Yeah.
So why are they different than the previous one?
I'm not sure that there is an awful difference between the two. No.
So if the first one needed a policy, the second one needs agreement. So what's the difference between the policy and the agreement?
I'll ask our CAO to enlighten us.
All eyes on this.
Yeah, explain this, please.
The purpose of a policy is when you have an issue or a program or a service where you're providing the same consistent service for the same fee based on the same model for a long period of time. We don't have that with the Town Hall. So when this policy was done, I'm not sure why it was done this way, but this particular policy was with an individual. You never have a policy with an individual. A policy is a general statement that applies to everybody, so that was the first mistake in the policy. The second part outlines certain things in here. So under 3.3 fees, use of the volunteer office to be provided without cost to registered nonprofit organizations. But then the next line says use of the volunteer office by community volunteer groups will be provided at a cost of $10 a month. Two lines contradicting each other, so it doesn't make sense. And so in this particular case, if we have a strict policy, we have to follow it. And in this particular case, the model came for us, so we put out an RFP to see who was interested in operating the Town Hall for us. And so an individual came forward, so we have to negotiate based on what they're willing to do, what service they're willing to provide, at what cost. We can't have a policy for that, because the policy is going to change based on every proposal we get. And it may be a case where somebody comes in and we have a policy that says the cost to book the room is $20 an hour. Somebody comes forward and says, well, I can't afford 20, but I can afford 10 or 15. Do we deny them that service, say, no, sorry, we have to follow the policy? This is an opportunity for an entrepreneur in the area to try to maximize the amount of as much revenue as they can. It becomes an employment opportunity for them, but also gives us the opportunity to use the building and try to provide more use to the community, more exposure to artists or other people that want to use the facility. So the agreement is much more flexible. It gives much more leeway, whereas the policy is much more strict. If it was something we were doing on a regular, consistent basis, the policy makes sense. But in this particular case, the policy doesn't make sense to staff, and that the way to go is we have an agreement that covers all these items as well as other issues that aren't covered in the policy, and going forward to be the same way. If we don't have it that way, then we'll be amending this policy once or twice a year, every year for the next 10 years.
Thank you.
Any other councilor have a question or comment?
The new individual that will be filling that position, has that person been hired now, and are they on a full-time basis?
The person that's operating Town Hall is not on a full-time basis.
Okay.
No, that's very much up to them as to the time and effort that they put into it. Obviously, it's going to be more sustainable the more time they're able to commit to it. But they have to make a living. They have to manage their time accordingly.
Okay, thanks.
Councillor Johnson,
just a question of clarity from my perspective is: we have the policy, we have an agreement with someone who's going to manage the facility. What department within the region actually administers this policy and that agreement to make sure that this contract or the agreement that we have is meeting the guidelines of the policy as well as meeting our needs as the region to operate that facility?
So the operation of the agreement, I guess, would fall under economic development. If depending whether the policy is repealed, there wouldn't be any future need to manage that.
My confusion lies with the fact that that now it's been brought forward to us as a policy from economic development. The last time something was brought forward, it was brought forward by Recreation, I believe, by Steve Burns, and wasn't sure actually who is the owner, who's actually overseeing it, because if you dole it out to three or four different departments, it winds up not getting done.
So the agreement has been negotiated, and that was on my work plan. Signage at Town Hall is an issue which is on my work plan, that fairly much covers the responsibility. At the moment, for Town Hall, falls within economic development.
Perfect.
Thanks.
That answers my question.
Any other councillor have a question or comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favour of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to 8.2, facade program. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Mr. Kelly.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the draft 2018-2019 Business Facade Program.
Seconded for that, Councilor Crowe. That was again circulated with the agenda. Are there any questions or comments or councillors on that? Councilor Fancy?
It may be my ignorance, but I didn't understand that it was just going to be to Caledonia and Liverpool. Yes, maybe I missed it somewhere along the way, because I've known some other businesses like down Fort Medway, for instance, that could have maybe used part of, or could have helped with. Did I miss something along the way that this was just confined to these two areas?
CAO, would you like to address that?
Touched on budget time with Liverpool and Caledonia as the two core business areas.
Yeah, I heard that, but I thought it was going to be. I thought that we were looking at those as the core, but that it still could be outlined. It's just to these two areas.
Councilor Johnson?
Just one process question. Where it's first come, first served, how are we going to communicate this to all the people who could possibly benefit from it?
CAO?
As it says, I mean, there's a communications plan, or at least a communications statement at the end here, and that's pretty much what we'll be doing. We'll be using both South Queens Chamber of Commerce and the North Queens Board of Trade for circulation to their members. In addition, we have distribution lists for businesses located within both of those areas, and we'll make sure that they get equal hearing.
Yeah, a couple of questions. First one is, this was for $25,000, and as we know, this is $25,000 of budgeted from the Region of Queens, and we've just received another $25,000 from the province for beautification and facade programs. So should we not update this to $50,000? Dollars for a total of the program?
Richard, would you like to address that?
So the amount that was approved actually included $15,000 for the facade program. So the total budget, which would be available, would be $40,000 for this.
Pardon. Our Vision 2020 states facade program $50,000. And that was $25,000 from the region and $25,000 from the provincial government. And this came out before the provincial government actually made their announcement of the 25. So I don't understand.
Well, exactly. It came out before the announcement. So the amount of money that was allocated to us under that application wasn't known when the paper was written.
Exactly. So this is for $25,000. This was written for $25,000. Mm. Now we know we have another $25,000.
We know we have another $15,000 for the facade program.
How is the press release from the provincial government states municipality of Queens is $25,000?
There were other projects that were allocated money within that $25,000.
I would ask our CAO to clarify that.
To clarify. So at the time of the budget, we set aside $50,000 on the revenue side, expecting we would put $25,000 of our own money. Plus $25,000 from the provincial government. So that's where the $50,000 revenue comes from. On our expense side, it shows $25,000. That's all we were putting into it. So that was the understanding when the government announced the program for a facade program. When the program came out 5-6 weeks ago, it was expanded beyond facade. It included other stuff that had to be tourism related. One is a downtown redevelopment plan, so there's another 5,000 of that is towards that cost. And we put 5,000 in the budget. That now gives us 10,000 to develop a better downtown development plan. And there's a couple other little projects in it. So the criteria that the province established was different than what they initially announced. And so for us to apply just for facade, we may not have done the proof because we're not sure who we're competing against throughout the province. So we had to have a diversified application. So at the end of the day, we got approved the other day for 25,000 total, but 15,000 goes towards the facade. So when people fill out the application, it doesn't say anywhere in the application that it's only $25,000. So people are going to fill out the application based on knowing that they're eligible for up to $5,000. The change in the report doesn't change anything because the report's not going to be attached to the actual program guidelines. And the actual program guidelines talk about $25,000 investment in local businesses. Now we're putting in generating $50,000 if businesses matching 50 cent dollars as a minimum.
So do I need to make a motion to update this draft to $40,000?
There is no amount in the motion. It's the program that's being approved. And
yeah, but
the CAO is advising that that program funding is now $40,000.
So it's approved at $40,000. So this is a draft. This is a draft proposal for a facade program, which states we are approving the draft 2018-2019 facade program, which says $25,000. I don't want to approve a draft program for $25,000. I want to approve a facade program for $40,000 because that's what the total is available for the facade program.
But neither the program guidelines or the application say it's a $25,000 program. The guidelines say that we, council's begun the process of spending time financial resources. We're still looking for external development as initial start for renewing the two downtowns in Liverpool. Council has budgeted $25,000 to invest and would generate $50,000 of new facade upgrades if businesses match. So that's accurate. There's nothing wrong with that number. And nowhere else in here does it say that it's a $25,000 program. And the application actual application doesn't say anything about it. It just says it's maximum $5,000 match 50 cent dollars. So there's nothing inaccurate or in error in the application or in the
report. Well, other than the end of it where at the back where it says how many businesses you expect to apply at a maximum of $5,000 a piece, which is 5 to 6 businesses you're expecting to apply for the $25,000 for a maximum of 50, which now at $40,000 would mean we could have approximately 8 businesses or more that could apply for that funding at a maximum of $5,000 each.
Correct, and that's in the staff report. That's not in the public documents that will be submitted to that the public will receive as part of the application process.
Right, so this
says 6 to 8, so technically it could be 8 to 10 or it could be.
Okay.
So, but that's, I guess it's a.
So when we have a draft facade program, just want to be understand this completely, that this is now, if we approve this today, this now becomes what? Where does this sit and how does this program sit? I don't know, as a policy? How help me out here.
It's a program. So tomorrow we finalize it today. We advertise it tomorrow. We send the emails out. We put on social media, put on our website. People submit applications and we review them and approve.
And where does the total amount go for that? Where does the total amount actually list? Will that be listed in the completed document? Will it be updated to say it's $40,000 is available from the Region of Queens for this?
Am I understanding, Councillor Kelly, that your concern is where is it stated that it will be a $40,000 program?
Yes, so where our staff will be advised, this program then will allow our staff to know that they're approving applications up to $40,000 and not $25,000.
Richard approves it, Richard knows.
Right,
nope.
So it will be, okay, you know that, and okay, right, okay, fine. I think we're on the record for that.
Any other Councillor Fraley?
I have a couple questions, and maybe, Councillor Ramsey, I missed something here. I thought when we were talking downtown, you've got exit 19 over here. I don't believe exit 19 needs any help. I think they're doing just fine on their own. The downtown is suffering. That was certainly my vision when we started talking about this, and I was talking about $50,000. I was under the impression that it was the full amount for 50. If that changed along the way, I think we should have been notified. But also, the 50 number because we started off with that and we wanted as many businesses in both Liverpool downtown and Caledonia covered. And now we've already lost the 10. And I think it's just become a really confusing matter where, and others can speak up, where we thought it was a $50,000 adventure, not adventure, but something that would work well for the downtowns. And we're already back at 40, and we weren't aware of it. So I'm wondering why the Exit 19 would be involved in that. Is there any business over there that you can think that would be a requirement for that?
Richard, would you have any response?
Not especially.
CAO?
We have had lots of requests in the past that the people over on the other side of the bridge feel like they're being left out, that everything's focused on the downtown. And really, the downtown is everything there now. And to suggest that downtown is just two or three streets, I expect there's people that are outside that area, like in the west part of Liverpool, that would argue that they're downtown. And so we tried to encompass as many as we thought were reasonable in what we thought was a downtown area. If there's nobody over there that's eligible or interested because their buildings are fine, then we won't get any applications over there, so it becomes a non-issue. But there are some buildings over there that are appropriate, then that's why we've included them. It's no different than the North Queens one. We've gone all the way up to Lakeview Dairy Bar. And so Lakeview Dairy Bar, could be argued that's not downtown Caledonia either because it's several kilometers up the road, but it's what seemed reasonable for those businesses to be included and be considered as part of those downtown core areas.
But you do realize that downtown revitalization, by every municipality standards, is trying to revitalize the main section, which brings tourists into a town or gives people a reason for coming into the town. And then they discover everything on the outskirts. So it doesn't go along with the vision that I and others had for downtown revitalization. That's an Exit 19 revitalization, and whether or not they qualify or not, it takes the focus off the downtown, which is where we're suffering. And you know, we've been having this conversation for years, decades, about working towards getting the downtown spruced up. We have an opportunity, and we spread it so far that I'm not sure it's going to be, if anyone from Exit 19 applies, it takes away the main focus of what we're doing. So,
Mr. Chairman, this is a staff report, and if council wishes to amend the map, council is more than able to do that.
Thank you, CAO. Any other councilor have a question or comment? Deputy Mayor LaFleur?
I'd like to comment on the perimeters of this program, and I have no issue at all with the actual design map and the perimeters of the existing area that would be available for this funding program. There are some vacant buildings in the Exit 19 area. There's some vacant lots that could be developed, and one over on the corner there that's been for sale for a long time at the Lights. There's the old Irving property, which is just across the street from the entrance to the Queen's Place. I mean, that area could easily be developed. So, and it would be an incentive for developers, whoever, if they needed some improvements. I don't know whether it goes for new builds or not, but basically it's a facade improvement program. So I really feel that, and Horace McPherson has made a significant contribution to our community. And he's grown and he's expanded and he's provided goods and services that are not available, and others did not take the investment in the downtown area to provide those services. So I really feel that they should be included in this program.
Any other council? Councilor Kelly?
I'm happy with this map as it stands. I mean, I would question more or less the back of Main Street up at along Church Street, for instance. But I think for the first year of this program, it doesn't mean it can't be redefined in following years, correct? To find our basis, and I'm mostly interested in now is the, because the review of our municipal planning strategy and land use bylaws will actually define a commercial downtown area, and if that's a commercial downtown area on Main Street and at exit 19, which obviously would be, then those parameters will define our downtown for us rather than us taking a stab at the dirt and, you know, at this and trying to include everything. And I think that later on we'll have a chance next year for the program, see how it goes this year. And there'll obviously be, you can't get it all right. I mean, there's going to be a lot of things in this facade program that will be questioned, and maybe we'll get a lot of feedback and reviews from businesses on how we can do it better. And I think that defining it for next year will be even better. So I'm happy to continue this and see what comes out of it, and then find where we can improve for next year.
Are you ready for the question?
Questions?
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? 7-1, it does pass. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. We'll move on now to 9.0, corporate services. Under that, we have 9.1, Old Falls Road, Councilor Fancy. Would you like to do a presentation today on this?
Okay, thank you. So as was discussed here earlier, Old Falls Road, this isn't something new. It isn't just something that happened this last year or the last 2 years. It's been an ongoing issue. I didn't want them all to come up. I have other things, they're all about litter, so it isn't going to hurt. But I just wanted to get the pictures, but that's all right. I'll just bring up the pictures as I need them. Of course, I'm not very good with computers, so I make do with how I'm going to do it. But when I was talking with Bob Quinn, he gave me a good history on the Old Falls Road. And of course, it was one time just an old cattle path really going up over. And if you go down on the side facing Highway 8, you'll see where the road, just before it hits the Highway 8, it takes a right. That was a part of Old Falls Road. That was the old road that used to be like a cattle path and went up to Milton, up to the falls. So I went and took a few pictures. Let's see if I can get these to come up. And this is the first picture I took. Just about, I wanted to get everybody to have an overview of really what everybody's looking at. Because you talk a lot of times about things, but until you see it in pictures and being able to understand what people are going through on Old Falls Road, you don't really get the full picture of it. And here's a sign that's past Queen's Place before McDonald's. You see the direction of Kedgy and Annapolis Royal in this. A fair amount of space. I mean, the space is almost from here to the other wall till you get to Old Falls Road. Now, when we is being involved with running and such is, and as Richard and I know can understand and things, we always have a phrase, we always say, there's nothing dumber than the runner. And you put up signs and do everything right, and the runner will still miss the mark of where they're supposed to go. So you think, well, it's quite straightforward. The signage should be a certain distance from the lights. You go from Liverpool area, Raymond and I drove up there this morning, the signs to the lights is a lot closer than what this here sign is here. So it isn't a matter of a measuring distance, it's where it looked like where it was appropriate to put the sign at the first place. But along with that, when you come to that sign, and somebody's going along with a trailer, and I like to say, well, I talked about the runners and things, the first thing you're looking for is that I am going out to Kedgy, I don't want to miss my cutoff. So what they're looking for is the first right that they can come to. And when I talk to Bob Quinn tells me that five to six times a week, he sees trailers going up that Old Falls Road. When you put a trailer up Old Falls Road, you got a problem. Because when Old Falls Road, and I'll go on to the next. How do I go on, Christine? I've got that picture up. How do I, oh, maybe I can just make it smaller here and go back. No, I'm just, I don't know how to go on to the next picture. Just the arrows?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can do something with an arrow. That arrow didn't work. Lots of arrows. Like I told you, I'm not, this isn't my forte.
You should be able just to hit.
I tried that arrow.
No. I didn't like it.
Okay. No, it's all right. Well, the one thing I'll talk to you while Christine is bringing up the pictures is when you go on Old Falls Road, I just decided to get a rough idea of what it would be like. And I stepped across, my foot's about a foot long, that's why I always measure things across. It's about 14 feet across that road, so it's a very narrow road. And I measured my car across about five and a half feet wide. So you take two of my cars, one going one way, one going another, that's 11 feet. Well, that sounds, well, okay, it's 3 feet in between, but we all got mirrors on our cars. So you can't have the mirrors hit, so they're about 6 to 8 inches wide. Now you're getting the gist of how close everything is, and that's just a normal sized car.
I don't know what happened.
I'm glad it's you, not me. So when people come up that road and people are meeting together, that's why there's no center line. You won't see a center line up that road because it can't be a center line because you wouldn't be able to make it, it would make it too small. There's of course been talks of one-way streets and everything else over the years, but should I just pull it up and put it back in?
I don't know what happened to it.
It's gone.
That's what I've been doing, but
windows
it won't.
Picture and back to your head,
okay.
It's not.
Don't bring it up.
No.
You just pop up,
I can't even do that.
Just go on your desktop.
Let's
see.
I've been doing that.
Okay, this is his folder?
No,
which
he's got them all.
Okay,
well, I just got them all aligned.
Okay,
there.
I'm going to take you to the first picture first. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay. The one you want right here.
Oh, okay. And now, can
you look at that? See your arrow there, Jack?
Where's the arrow?
Right here. You just.
I just keep it in that arrow.
Advance, yes. Or
good.
You can do this.
Okay.
Okay.
We got a winner here. We're going forward. So this was our first picture. This is what I took over by Sobeys to be able to see that it could be confusion that somebody might take that, and which they do. Like I said, Bob Quinn tells me he sees 6 or 7 trailers a week going up there during the summer. Along with that is that once a person makes a mistake and they start going up this road and it's only 14 feet wide, they don't get in there very far and they realize they made a mistake. If you could be able to correct the mistake, you just keep going and go out the other end and go out onto Highway 8. You don't know where you're going, so the first thing you want to do is turn around. So he sees them up there doing all kinds of didos, trying to get the cars, these trailers turned around, because they don't know that they could go straight out and hit Highway 8. So there's all kinds of problems with that. Now, let's hit this. So then going in on the road, we, again, it's a problem they always have, is vegetation growing in, right? You can see the trees growing in, you see the bushes on the far side. If anybody doesn't look after the bush or doesn't look after the tree, all of a sudden that road becomes really, really small. And you see the posted speed limit, which is 30 kilometers an hour, which I talked with Staff Sergeant Smith about. And I said, is that enforceable? And he said, I can't tell you for sure. I'd have to look it up. So I don't know if it's enforceable or not. So I don't want to say that it's not. But we have two signs on that road that are to say a maximum 30 kilometers an hour. And so along with this, I'm gonna make, there's gonna be 5 requests that I'm gonna be speaking about today. And these are requests that I'd like to be able to take back to the region to be able to do a report, bring it back to council for us to be able to talk about and see if they're workable or not. I'm not saying all of them are the best, but it's we're trying to help these people. Years ago, there used to be a sign there that said local traffic only. That's not enforceable, but it helped at the time. Now, Bob Quinn, when I talked to him about it, he said that they had one problem with that, and that was that some people who came with deliveries, especially since he owned the archery shop and the pool place up on top, that the deliveries would come along and say, oh, local traffic only, I can't go up there. So my first request would be put a sign up there right underneath the 30 or wherever and say local traffic and deliveries only. So then people, the delivery trucks would know that they would be able to come up through there. Again, this is not enforceable. I talked to Kenny Cameron about it. I said, what do you, as being with TIR, how do you feel about this? Would this be something that could be, that you would have a problem with? And he said, I don't have a problem with it. So from their point of view, and I tried to talk to Staff Sergeant Smith. I'm just gonna drink my coffee here, get dried out easily. Probably coffee makes it worse, but at least it's dry, it'll be wet for a second. That he said he didn't seem to have any problem with it. So for us to put it up, I think we'd be okay with it. How would this help them? It would help them in the sense that somebody who went to cut into that road would see the sign and they'd say, oh no, well, this isn't the right road to cut into. I got to go onward. also too, for some people, especially with concerts and things, if they see this, they would not take that because it says local traffic only. So you're going to keep away from some of that traffic that will go up through. The other problem is that when the traffic just doesn't go up through, people are trying to avoid the lights. So you say, these are nice people. They're just going around and nice and slow, and take my time, wave to everybody going up through. No, they're going to avoid the lights. They're coming along. You might say, well, as Councillor Kelly said, it may not be speeding, but they're going as fast as they can go to get up there because they're avoiding the lights. They're trying to get ahead of the traffic. And we have more and more things going on with concerts, with hockey games, and now we get the dollar store just opening up, or Dollarama. People are going to be going there and coming back through more and more. And as Karen had mentioned, Karen Cowie had mentioned this morning, somebody took a survey, looked at it the other day from 4:30 to 6 o'clock, and there were 50 cars that went up through. Well, there's only 12 cars on the road, so something doesn't right with being local traffic or anything. People are avoiding the lights. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. We've got Aquilitis opening up and going to expand. Like I said, the Dollarama is coming through. I think Liverpool is growing. The problem is going to be exponentially. The one thing I want you to see here in the distance, you see the sign, it shows a sharp corner ahead. What would you see wrong with that sign? Where is it located?
Where do we see it, Jack?
You're already, it's right up there, that little yellow up there. I will on the next sign. But you can see this. You're driving down there. Where would you see that? Where would you first see that sign? That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't see it there, would you, if you were driving along the car? You don't see that sign until you're already into the corner. That sign should be up further so people know that there is a sharp corner coming. You're going to be into the corner before you even know there is a sharp corner. See, so you're already on the corner, and that's a narrow road. We're only 14 feet, and people have said there's been a lot of close calls because people coming around there. You can't see anything till you get around that corner. Now, if your one car is wider than the other, or you're trying to get both because it's two-way traffic there, remember. On the other end, it is you can't enter, but the people on the road can come down. So now we have two people trying to meet there. We got a problem. And if you got somebody who's coming in from the concert trying to go around there faster and trying to take more than their share, and you don't even have to take much of a share to be over half that road, you got a problem. Next thing we see going up the hill. Now you're driving along, now you come around the corner, you're going up the hill. I look up over this hill, see that's the second maximum 30 sign. And there's a driveway right in behind that maximum 30 sign. Then there's a driveway just down over that hill. What do you think when somebody's coming up this way, speeding, or even just going on regular speed, going up over, somebody's coming out of that driveway, we got a problem. We need a hidden driveway or a blind crest sign, something there that the people will take notice of, that they'll slow down. There's a potential opportunity of a problem there. The other problem along with that is that a lot of people, and this is again Bob Quinn who gave me a lot of this information, a lot of people still come in the other way. Because once you come in, you aren't allowed in the other way, but once you get up to the first house, are you going the right way? Yeah, you're going the right way. So all you have to do is make it to the first house, and now you're going the right way. People don't expect that. People are, and it's more locals who are saying, again, I want to avoid the lights, but I'm going to come in through this way and avoid it. So we need something there, they've had everything happen there. They've had people in the bushes. There's been people that come up over, and that goes down quite quickly. If you're going any speed, you can actually see under the car when you're going up over there. So, and they've been down to down in behind Bob Quinn's. It's not being used as a road. It's being used as an offshoot. They're trying to get away from traffic. Then, down on the other end, this is Highway 8 side, we do have some rumble strips there. There's two sets, and this is my third request, is that could we, if they say, well, we can't do rumble strips. Well, we got rumble strips going up by the Highway 8 side. You could have rumble strips going in by McDonald's area. And may I back up to say, when we were talking about the McDonald's area, that sign, I should say, can we look at trying to move that past the exit, or the entrance to Old Falls Road? There's a little area there, which I don't know if it can be done, but right by McDonald's, between McDonald's and the entrance to Old Falls Road is a green area. And I don't know if that's owned by McDonald's, owned by the person up in back, or anything, but if the sign could be moved ahead of the entrance to Old Falls Road, then people can't get confused. And it would still be about the same distance as it was for the other one coming over from town. Down by the entrance coming in from Highway 8, it's got a very, very much, very plain on both sides of the entrance of the road, zero, with a line through it, and do not enter. So people should know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you don't enter through there. But again, people are still doing that. Now, the last thing which people have talked about, we talked about saying possibly making this a one way. I don't think one way would ever help. The only way one way would help is you would always get a flow trying to get around that traffic, and it would make it just a make it hard on the people who live up there. Now, this is just kind of a far out suggestion, but what if we either could look at, I think not right now, but looking further down the road, if we could get the local traffic only sign, that we could say, if everything settled down, that'd be good. But if not, we could say no right turn. If it says no right turn, traffic has to come back through town, then people on the street itself would have to understand that if they were going to leave, they'd have to come up by McDonald's. But at least then there wouldn't be any flow through, because you can't turn right and go up towards Milton. Or you could put a sign saying no right turn 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. So during the day you could use it all day, but so this way it would take people from work and from concerts and everything, that they wouldn't be able to go that way. What I looked at is, what I'm seeing is, and then talking to people over the years, is that we've come to accept that this is a way to get rid of overflow of traffic when it becomes either 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, or we've come to use it as a help to get rid of the traffic when we have concerts and such as, which makes the flow go a little bit better. I don't think that's acceptable. I don't think that's a road that should be used as an overflow for traffic. They have the right to have a nice, peaceable, safe road, the same as everybody else. So I think we've been long overdue in not trying to help these people, and I don't know if we're waiting for a disaster to happen or whatever. Well, I don't want to be reactive. I want to be proactive in what we can do to make people feel safer on this road. The speed limit is there, posted at 30. Don't know if it's acceptable, but the other end is that people are driving up there way too fast, the road's too narrow. We need to make it so it's only people driving on the road or visiting that need to be there. Thank you.
Any questions of councilors of Jack, comments? Councilor Mews?
Isn't most of this stuff like TIR, Jack? Like all the signs and everything else, isn't that all TIR?
When anything that's unenforceable, it means that TIR aren't going to be involved with that. That has to come, as far as I realize, it would have to come through us making the request. And are we willing to make a request that's something that's not, we can't enforce? And I've been told in the past, no, we don't want the signs there because it's unenforceable. And I'm saying we need to help these people on the street. Unenforceable or not, we need to, and that would have to be something that my understanding would be, it would have to come through council for us to want something there.
But to move the sign, like the Kedgy sign,
yes.
That's TIR, that's nothing to do with council.
That's right. But again, we can make that request.
But to make it one way or anything like that,
that's TIR.
TIR.
Yeah, and I don't think we want to make that one way.
If I may, Mr. Chair, let's correct this right away. Yeah. The road is owned by the region. The road has nothing to do with TIR. All
right.
The roads within Liverpool are owned by us.
Right.
All the signs, all the roads, all the enforcement, all that stuff is our jurisdiction. It has nothing to do with TIR.
Okay, but I thought we would have to ask TIR if we wanted to make any kind of a change.
Absolutely not. The
okay.
only change is that sign is there. It's that big sign, highway sign, so you'd have to ask them
right.
to move their sign. Other than that, they have no jurisdiction in Liverpool.
So like the sharp turn and things, that would be us?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's all ours.
Okay.
Councilor Kelly?
I'd just like to make the comment that, you know, it's possible, did you check in, the sign is there, because if you think about it, up the street, up to the corner, isn't there any other place to put that sign, right? But you're right, I think that sign should be moved to prevent those trailers, because they obviously don't want to go up there,
no.
To prevent them from going up. But as you mentioned, the signage is not being adhered to now. Nobody's going 30 kilometers an hour and there's a sign there.
Right.
Even though there's a sign that says local traffic only, nobody's going to adhere to that either, because they're already going up that street and coming out the other end. You said they're already entering from the sign that says
right.
do not enter. So I don't have any faith that people are going to come down to the end of that street and turn left because we told them they can't put a sign there that says can't do right. When they get there, they're going to turn right. I think that the only thing that's really going to help on that street is to block off one of the entrances so that the people on that street can come up and down it. But there's only one exit. The only way you're going to stop through traffic is if there's no entry, there's no exit out the other end, one or one end of that street. And I know what they put up with because I live on a street that's a through street too. I mean, there's no reason for anybody to come up my street unless you live on that street. There's other ways around it, but it's convenient for
yes.
people to come through there. And so that will always happen. But this obviously is a perfect case where you shut off one end of the street so that only the people that live on that street would need to be on there. And I think I only see that put up as much signage as you want, people are still going to use it.
Well, talking to the people on the street, I'm just saying, I'm only
yeah.
conveying what people on the street say.
Yeah.
Look, let us, well, they would love to try the local. and to be able to
see if
it would, because like after a concert and things, most people who aren't from here won't take it because they'll see the sign and not do it. There'll be other people who will still use it, but how much flow would it cut back? That would be, and if that didn't work, then go on to more drastic measures. But that was a suggestion, and that's what I'd say. These are requests. And the other end, you said going on the end, you could even say it could be left turn only. Then people can't go toward. So then you can use that, but you can only go one way. And people don't want to go around the lights, come back to the lights. That's, you know what I'm saying? It's because if you go up the end of the road, if you go to the road in Highway 8 and it says left turn only, that means you're going to have to go back towards.
But that's a safety feature, Jack. You don't want that. I mean, most people are going to the right. You're talking going left only. You're going to go out and cut across two lanes of traffic. And I don't.
Right. Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
But I mean, it stops people from going right. People are going up towards Milton, going toward the new highway and things. It's a possibility. These are just things. These are requests I'm bringing to bring back to the region, to look at the region, to look at this as a whole. And you guys are giving comments to be able to add to this, that we can be able to look at it. Maybe it has to be different ways, but I think people are tired the way it is. Right? Would I say that, Karen? You said they're tired the way it is. It's not there, so they're willing to look at change no matter what the change has to take place as.
Jack,
I know we are council fancy. I know where you're coming from, because when that district was my district, that's when we put in 30-kilometer sign.
Yes.
And it's been an issue for a long, long time. Mm. As far as removing or moving in a different location the provincial sign, there could be extra panels put on there stating that turn right at the lights rather than turn right here. That could be an addition. Or you've seen signs that have an extended, like when you have your arrow, there's always an extension which allows the public to realize, okay, you keep going and then you turn right, not in an initial right at the next right, if that makes any sense. There was also consideration for putting, not rumble strips, but a speed bump going up, halfway up, or somewhere located in a strategic area that was telling people to slow down, and not the rumble strips, because that is generally bringing up a stop sign. But a speed bump. There was another suggestion for a chicane, but that's not wide enough. A chicane is like a little island in a road that takes your traffic to the right, which allows slowing down.
Yeah.
But that street is not wide enough for that.
Yeah.
So those are specific remedies for speeding on roads in residential areas. I think, and I like the suggestion about no exit. But there should be a way to be able to do that. And then the local people will certainly come back then. And I don't think if they want a solution to the issue, then there has to be some compromise in that respect. And
right.
But I do know that it is a real, with the using it as an exit when Queen's Place heavy traffic from events is coming out, that's a big issue there. So I think there is a solution, and if we control that street, then we should make every effort to put in there what we can. And
right.
If it's enforcement, if we put a 30, maximum 30 kilometer sign there, then maximum is the key point, because if you have maximum there, there's got to be a penalty if you go beyond that. Do we have that, is that under the Motor Vehicle Act that we have to abide by, or do we have our own rules in that respect?
Motor Vehicle Act is specific for all Nova Scotia. In a business district, which is so many businesses or houses within a certain radius, which would be all of Liverpool, the minimum speed is 50 kilometers. You can't post it or have a speed lower than 50. So it doesn't matter what the sign says, it's not enforceable. And so we've been through this many times. This is like the third or fourth time this has come to council. Council's debated this issue. There's 20 different options, and none of them that have been implemented have been effective. And so I'm not sure that there was the issue around closing it off, making it a one-way or a dead-end street, but the fire and police said, you go ahead and do it, we'll have, there'll be no guarantee of emergency services. If there's ever a water break, sewer break, there's an accident on the intersection there, nobody's getting in or out anytime soon. So the last time we were through this in 2009, the police and fire said, if you do it, you're gonna risk life, you're gonna risk people's lives if there's an accident there, or if there's no way for the police and the fire to get up that road if there's an issue. So that time, council backed away and said, no, that public safety was more important than some traffic. But the motor vehicle act says 50 kilometers, so regardless of what people put up for signs, or local traffic, as Councilor Fancy said, they're not enforceable, so it's a marketing exercise. And that's where it comes from. So I know in 2009, Kellyanne Hurley and I did a speed test up there for a whole day. There was 37 cars, I think, ran up there the whole day. Two of them were going past 50, and they were going past 50 to hit the gas to go up the big hill. Other than that, they're all going 35, 37 kilometers an hour. It may seem like it's speeding on a very narrow road, but you can't, there's no penalty for it. So I hear lots of people say they're speeding. Our past test said there wasn't any speeding, and somebody's going 51 or 52, they're not gonna get a speeding ticket in the 50 zone, they're gonna have to go 60 or above. Mm. It's virtually impossible to go up that road 50 or 60 unless you're a drag racer. I mean, there's no simple solution to this. I mean, we can do more speed tests, but the speed tests are gonna come back and confirm what we already know. And then the issue is gonna be, well, the perception is they're going too fast, it's a narrow road, and ignore that data. So I don't wanna go chasing rabbits and collect all kinds of data and information. If at the end of the day, we already know what the data's gonna say, and then ignore it anyway.
Councilor Johnson?
Well, I think, first of all, Jack, I applaud you for bringing this back to the table, but from what I understand, we've admired this problem far too long. But I think a big part of the hiccup, and Chris, you cleared it up here today, is who actually is responsible for that street. And if it's the region, then we need to step up to the plate and do something about it. But I'm very much leery that we're gonna try to come to a solution here today that doesn't involve the residents, because we don't wanna do something that's gonna cause that to be a safety hazard, or put speed bumps in that's gonna pick the bottoms out of those. There's only 12 houses on the road. Why couldn't we come together with a couple from council or some staff from Public Works or from whatever department is responsible from the region and have some kind of a public consultation with those 12 residents and figure out how we can get this thing fixed? You know, I don't think it's as complicated as what it is. There is compromise that's going to have to be given, but we don't want to create a problem by trying to solve a problem. Who are affected most need to be part of the solution, I think.
Yeah.
And I think us here suggesting signs like a no exit sign and speed bumps today is a great solution, but we need to sit down somewhere other than here in council and try to get to the end result with the people who have the authority to make the decision.
Can I answer something on that?
Yes, sir.
I've talked to a lot of the residents. You know, this isn't something I just brought out of my hat, you know, I'm trying to say this. So I've talked to a lot of the residents, and the first few things that like the local traffic one and is what people want that. That would be a help. To relocate that sharp sign, bring it up further, try to get people slowed down before they hit the sign, everybody's in agreement with that. The hidden driveway or blind crest, That's a great idea. I've phoned a few of them too. And so those rumble strips are just a very, very light. You've got to be so careful, because when you put up any kind of a thing that affects the plow, it's going to, you know, you're going to have a problem. But those rumble strips that are out by the Highway 8 are very, very low. They just make a noise, is more so than anything. You don't have to, and people hear the noise, they seem to slow down along with that. So these ones here are things that are acceptable for the people on the road. If you're going to make it a one way, or you're going to do other things that are going to be more drastic, then I think it needs to be consultations with the people on the road to make sure that they're going to be, I guess, happy with it. So that's what I'm getting. These other requests are things they say, this may, it's like local traffic only, local traffic and deliveries only. Well, if that creates on a hockey game that people don't drive up there because they see that, that's good. That's a good thing. It isn't hurt, and or other things that are going on. There's got to be some people who know it means nothing, and they're going to drive up through there anyway. But you're going to cut down maybe 75% of the traffic, if they, or because some people won't even know it's enforceable or not enforceable. They'll be scared to death to even go up through there. So those type of things, I think, are things that could be a help, and that's why I'm bringing that to the region to look at and examine. The other end of closing off a road, or making it one way, or how it could affect essential services, that is a bigger problem that I don't know if we need to, we can't address that here today.
Councilor Fancy, I have one more councilor. Councilor Frelick, you have a question. So I guess, having gone through council members and their questions and comments, would you put together a list of items that you would like staff to review and possible solutions, and then take that into our staff and let them digest that?
Okay. Well, is there any concerns on staff that we're doing something here looking at wrongly? I know that I see CEO said that, but you know, we got to make sure that this is ours up through there. The sign up by the road could be, maybe it's what Susan said, maybe it's even, if they can't move it, maybe it could be a something, say, it's a set of lights or something, or an arrow straight ahead, something that could help. Or anything like
rather
that.
Than try to solve every issue today, let's have you give all that information to staff and work with staff to try to work on solutions.
Right.
And all those questions and answers will come through that process.
Okay.
Does that sound reasonable?
Sounds good to me. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilor Fancy. So we will now move on to 10.0 engineering work. We have 10.1 community monitoring committee. So I would ask Scott LeBlanc to come forward. Who would like to take the lead on 10.1, please? Councilor Fisk.
Recommendation is, it is recommended that Castle Creek Community Municipality approve the reappointment of the Community Moderating Committee of Keith Miner of Milton and Norm Witzel of Mill Village. These appointments are effective immediately with a term ending April 1st, 2020.
Second to that motion? Deputy Mayor Klein. This information is quite straightforward, Scott. Do you
pretty
have
much.
Any comments you'd like to add?
Well, you can see from the background, this is a requirement of our operating permit for the solid waste management facility, that we have at least a yearly meeting with members of the community in that surrounding area to the facility. And these are just two reappointments of existing members. Kenneth Miner's been with us quite a time now. And this is, I believe, Norman Wenzel's second term. So this is all this is, just to reappoint them.
Any questions for councillors? Councillor Kelly?
Yes, of course I have questions, because being councillor is always a learning opportunity. And I've learned today, first time community, that we have a community monitoring committee.
Yep.
Is there a policy around, well, first of all, how many people sit on this committee?
It's a three-person committee. We have a vacancy, and we're pursuing getting another member, hopefully in the near future. We only need two members for a quorum, so we have that.
Of course, yes. Also, then, this is sort of our second year in council for me in this term, and I've never heard a report, unless I missed something along the way, of this committee. Does the report ever come to committee?
It's
do they, when they meet?
It's circulated to all councils.
Okay, all right, thank you. I'll look at that. And is there policy around, because these are reappointments, but it says the requirements are appointments shall be for 2-year terms. So these have already been on it, all of them are on 2-year terms?
Well, Kenneth is on his, I believe, his third 2-year term.
Okay.
He's been with us for a time now.
So there's no requirement to serve, there's no limit on how long they can serve on this committee.
As long
as
you're still interested.
Okay, interesting. So what community are you looking for the third person from?
Banks Falls, Greenfield area.
Okay, thank you.
And all the committee does, it's a link between the facility and the residents in that outlying area. You know, concerns such as environmental controls we have in place, tonnages received, what we do with the materials themselves, and any reporting we have to do to Department of Environment and the operating permit itself. We review all that.
motion? It is unanimous, thank you, and thank you, Scott.
Yeah.